Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. Over the past weeks, the pastors, the elders of this congregation, parents of our catechumens have conducted the private examination of our catechumens, meeting to conversationally discuss and confess the faith that has been once delivered to the saints as we have it beautifully simplified and confessed in the small catechism. This examination begins, of course, with prayer. And then following that prayer, it opens up into the Ten Commandments. The catechumens each recite those commandments, and then they are asked if they are sinners. Each confessed that to be the very fact about them, that they are indeed sinners. Then they were asked how they knew this. And then again, the most basic of the meaning of the word to confess, that is to say again what has already been said, they said again what the Bible and what the Ten Commandments had taught them, that indeed they were sinners. And they confessed what that meant, that each of them deserved God's wrath and punishment. The next question, however, exhibits a marvelous and wondrous change. The next question is, do you have the certain hope of salvation? Logically, that is, by the thinking and ordering of mankind in our wisdom, they had just said that they had deserved wrath and punishment. How could they now be certain of salvation? Because God's ways are not our ways. And an illogical, amazing, and remarkable way, each child then confessed that they had that certain hope of salvation. That despite being sinners, they had certainty that salvation was theirs. And the next question explained it. Who do you trust in then for your salvation? Each answered Jesus Christ. That certainty of salvation can come from no one else than Jesus Christ. That on their own they confess themselves to be sinners deserving wrath and punishment. That is the Bible's teaching. That's what our works, our sins, deserve. But yet the Bible's teaching is clear that God has another plan than our wrath and punishment and condemnation. It is totally contrary to mankind's thinking. It is a way of salvation, worked out by God Himself through Jesus Christ, who is God, with the Holy Spirit's gift of faith or trust in Jesus, bringing that absolute certainty of salvation. The next question is, what has Jesus done for you that you would trust in Him? And then after that, where did you learn this from? These set the stage for our lessons today. Who is Jesus? What has Jesus done? Why is that of any importance to any of you? Why is it any importance to sinners? The crowds of Holy Week give many answers to those questions. The Palm Sunday crowd cries out, "Hosanna! Save us, Lord!" Expecting salvation from Jesus, confessing that He comes in the name of the Lord and is indeed the promised King of Israel. That they had followed Christ because He had shown His power over death in the raising of Lazarus. And yet the crowd on Good Friday cry out not for salvation from Jesus, but for His crucifixion, confessing Him to be a criminal, deserving of capital punishment in the worst way possible for a subject of Rome, but also confessing that He is one who should die a cursed death by their own Jewish laws, deserving to be hanged on a tree. They confess ironically, "May his blood be on us and our children." They confess that they would rather have Barabbas, which means son of the Father. They would rather have Barabbas, that son of the Father, than the true son of the Father that Jesus is. The crowd of the passers-by, the crowd of the bystanders, mock and hold Jesus in derision in satanic sign-seeking for their own personal amusement's sake. The chief priests, the scribes, the elders, they confess Jesus to be a competitor for the attention of the people on Palm Sunday, ironically the savior of others who cannot save himself. They deny his being the king of the Jews, mockingly call him one who trusts in God, even as Christ himself is entrusting himself to the Father in death unto the resurrection. These crowds and the others with the Jewish answers to who Jesus is. The Gentiles looking on and taking part are a little different. And in their answers, they show us indeed how God has intended that Christ be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Pilate believes Jesus to be an innocent man. But more also, as his wife suffers in dreams, is for what she calls a righteous man. Pilate, ever the politician, caves to the pressure from the crowd, the potential for unrest that may lead to unwanted attention from Rome. The soldiers mock and they beat Jesus, calling him the king of the Jews and treating him with the hatred that can come from Roman soldiers stationed in Judea. By the end, however, God works some miraculous signs. The signs that indeed the Jews had mockingly called and tempted Jesus about. But these signs then prove Christ to be the Son of God, the Creator, whose rocks cry out and even shatter at his death. The mediator of a new covenant who tears down the barrier to the Holy of Holies by his bloody death. Who is indeed the resurrection and the life by the initial raising of those who had fallen asleep, which then walk around the city after he is raised as a foreshadowing of that final resurrection on the last day. That all of those signs, yes, they may have sent some Jews away in penitent sorrow over what had befallen them. But we hear it made confessing believers out of the centurion and those who had actually sat there beneath the cross and done the work of the crucifixion. How can you be certain of your salvation? Listen to the work of Jesus and trust it. Don't put your trust in yourself and your own works like the Jews of Jesus' day had done. Don't trust your power, your abilities, or the favor of other men like Pilate did. But only trust in the works of Jesus. For only the works of Jesus are sufficient for the salvation of the world. The creation itself gave a testimony by the tearing of that curtain, by the splitting of those rocks, and the earthquakes at the death of Jesus. The creation itself gives this testimony, but you know this chiefly by the word of God which has been preached to you. The revelation of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, the very gospel of Christ, which does not speak of your works, but of Christ's work. And that this is certain, that Jesus Christ is the once and for all sacrifice for all sins. And that means that Jesus Christ is the once and for all sacrifice for each and every individual sinner. That's you. each of you. In the face of your sins, you have certainty of your salvation. And it's found in Christ Jesus alone. This is why Jesus can stir up such hatred from the world. Look at the world's hatred for him at the crucifixion. Come this week to the various opportunities to hear the word and hear of the world's hatred for him during that first Holy Week. Open your Bibles and read along each day. That the world hates Jesus because only Jesus is the Savior of the world, and the world does not want to be saved. That's how twisted the world is. It doesn't want eternal life, but some other way, miserable way. In the face of such twistedness today, we hear the confession of certainty from these catechumens today. That Jesus promised to confess those who confess him. It is his word which has taught them. It is his word which taught us what to confess today. But it is also his Holy Spirit, by that same word, who makes us confess today. That our confession is not even our work either. But it comes after the work of God in us. And so we may sit here today and we will hear them confess. And we will indeed confess for ourselves. But we must know that this is only the fruit of what our God has already done in us by his own power, by his own word, by his own gospel. What are you? A sinner. Deserving of wrath and punishment. The Ten Commandments teach you this. What will you receive from God, the triune God? Salvation. Why? Because of Jesus. Can you be certain? Absolutely you can. As all of that certainty depends on the only one who is faithful, God our Lord, who is Jesus Christ. Confirmation is wonderful. It shows God's work in these young ones through the teaching of his word. But another treasure awaits you today as well. Another treasure will be given to them this very day, the Lord's own body and blood, the very same body and blood which has been once and for all time crucified for their sake and for your sake, given shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That Christ would be your Savior, and that you would always have, each and every time, the forgiveness of your sins because of him. May God grant you all such certainty by his Spirit through his word today. In the name of Jesus, amen.